everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, whenever you're listening. Welcome back to another episode of Make Onions Cry, the podcast. I'm your host, Kat.
I'm your host, Angie.
And today we're talking about a very fun relationship topic, travel. We're going to talk a little bit about what it takes to travel, how to get there, what you should plan, what you shouldn't plan, and best practices when traveling, especially with high-end budgets and low-end budgets.
Yeah, so tune in and we're going to get into it.
All right, I'm going to kick it off with the question of the day, which is not very obvious, but it does have to do with travel and kind of what travel leads to, I would say. So, Angie, relative to the population at large, how do you rate your integrity, your openness, your warmth?
Excuse me?
Yeah, when you think of the whole population, everyone out there, how would you say you compare in terms of how open you are, how warm you are, how, you know, decent of a human you are in the grand scheme of things?
Well, it is 6 a.m. I would say in the grand scheme of everybody, I am a pretty open person and a pretty decent person. I always like to make sure the people that I love and the people around me are, you know, put first, and that I care about their well-being as well as mine. Like, I'm not going to drag myself through the mud as well. But I'm definitely not a selfish person, and I would consider myself empathetic. So I'm always there to listen to people and help people out, and I don't know. I think I'm a good person.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I asked the question is because travel, it opens up you to so many new people, so many new cultures. And I feel like if you're a very closed-minded person, or if you're one of those Karens that, you know, is going to go to Germany and yell at people for not speaking English, like, that's a very closed-minded approach to things. And I feel like when you're traveling, you have to be open to new things. You have to be open to new people, new cultures, new languages, new food. You know, there's some places that you're going to go, you're not going to find anything familiar to you.
Right. And, you know, I've traveled a lot, and the places that I've been to, especially where they don't, English is not the first language, I know I'm the one who's the dumb one. Yeah. You know, it's like, I understand that, like...
Yeah, you're aware that you're out of the norm.
I'm the outsider.
Yeah, you're the outsider. And it's a lot of people don't realize that. They think that just because they're coming to this country and they're doing XYZ, that they have some type of privilege and the people there have an obligation. No one has an obligation to you. Absolutely no one owes you anything. And that doesn't just apply for travel. That applies for everything in life.
Like, yeah, it does.
You get off your high horse, first of all. But it's one of those things that you have to realize you are the new person. You right. are the one that has to adapt and learn the things. People don't have to cater to you. And that's
right.
a very
and also,
important
a whole,
thing.
A whole, like, culture is not going to change for one person
yeah, no,
or one family.
Not. No.
It's just not.
It's not, like, so. A culture wouldn't even change for another culture.
No, so.
It's like, speaking from experience, Poland has been invaded more times than I would likely admit. And it's like, yeah. at the end of the day, they very much persevered through it. Is it persevered the right word? I don't know. They yeah. battled through it and kept the Polish culture alive. So
yeah, Poland love, Poland strong.
All right. I'm not hearing this shit at 6 a.m. All right, but let's talk a bit more about travel specifically. There's different types of travel. And I feel like each of them take something else to accomplish. They take a different type of mindset to approach. You know, if you're going to a beach vacation in Mexico, it's much different than backpacking through Thailand.
True.
So let's talk a bit about that. You know, we have cruises. There's those types of vacations where you go and explore a city or a country. You know, you do all the tourist stuff like museums. You do a lot of walking, look at architecture, whatever. Then there's also backpacking, which could take anywhere from a week to a year, you know. People backpack for different durations.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, no, that's, like, I mean, I've done a similar backpacking-ish thing for, like, a week. And it's, like, you're thinking
that's a lot.
It is. Like, a week is a decent amount. It's, like, people do it for a year. Half a year. Like, that's so long.
Good for them, though.
Yeah. then there's beach vacations, you know, typical let's go. And then there's a similar one, which is, like, a lake house rental or just a house rental type of thing. It doesn't have to be by a lake. Road trips, camping, and then there's short-term travel, like overnight or week-long, you know, trains. Those are as capable as well.
Yeah, those seem cool. Yeah. I've always wanted to do one of those.
What would you say is your favorite type of travel? What do you like to do when you're going on vacation?
Based on what I've done, I love cruises. I've only been on a few, but, like, when I was little, but I just remember, like, everything is set up for you. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, you relax. I love to just, like, relax on vacation. Unless I'm going to, like, a whole different... Like, if I'm going to Europe, I'm not going to Europe to sit on my ass. I'm going to Europe to, like, explore. Yeah. But if I'm going to, like, the Bahamas or, like, Puerto Rico or, like, you know, one of those, I would take a cruise, or I just want to relax. It just depends on where I'm going, I would say.
That definitely makes sense. I mean, I'm a big person of, I like to see things wherever I go. And unless it's a country that, you know, it's either dangerous to go exploring, or I just don't know enough, or there isn't something that interests me, then I might just want to stay either at the beach or, you know, the Airbnb that's being rented, whatever the case that might be. But, like, I've always wanted to go to Mexico. And Mexico is known, you know, Cancun, party, beaches, whatever. I don't care. I want to go see the pyramids in Mexico. That's the one thing I want to see. Like, I really want to see that. And same thing with countries like Peru. Like, I want to go see where the Incas was. Like, where I want to see llamas. Like, stuff like that is so cool to me.
Yeah, in those types of situations, like, I would want to do the same thing. And also in Mexico, you know, you can go hiking and, like, exploring in that way. And I feel like that's beautiful. Like, if I was in Mexico or, I mean, I'm going to Hawaii in a little over a month. I don't just want to be at the beach in Hawaii. Yeah. I want to go on the volcanoes. I want to go hiking. I want to see waterfalls. Like, I want to do stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I mean, well, we'll talk about Hawaii a little bit later because it's one of the more expensive vacations you can take.
Yes.
But in terms of that, my favorite thing on vacations, doesn't matter where I go, doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm a big food person. I am an adventurous eater. You know this. I will eat anything. I will try anything at least once. If I hate it, I won't have it again. But I will go out of my way and try it at least once. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to a new place with food that I've never seen before, I want to try it all. I don't care if it's crickets. I don't care if, you know, someone, it's like a baboon's arm or something. Well, I might care about that, but whatever.
Well,
point
is, that far.
Point is, I mean, my dad, when he was in Mexico, he was offered snake. I was like, that's interesting. I didn't even know you eat snakes. I would try it. I don't know if I'd like it. I would try it, though. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. I'm huge on food. And it's like, that's why I've always wanted to go to places like Vietnam so bad. Just because the street food. Like, the street food there, it looks good, but it also, it's like, there's some street vendors that have Michelin stars. Like, do you know how good your street food has to be to get a Michelin star?
I know. It's insane.
So I'm all for it. Like, with those.
I mean, I also love food because, I mean, you know, my mom used to be a chef. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely not as adventurous as you, as I would say. Definitely not. But I'm getting there. I've been trying a lot of new stuff.
You've been a lot better with trying stuff.
I've been more open to being open, I will say.
Yeah.
There are still some things, like bugs, I won't do. Probably a snake is a no. I won't do that.
No, but I had crickets on vanilla ice cream once because they were, The Economist, like the newspaper, was doing a promotion where if you buy like a year-long subscription for $12, I was like, $12, what a steal. They're going to give you free crickets or like free ice cream with crickets on top. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm trying this right now. And I was like, middle of New York City, just casual.
It wasn't bad. I would never.
It wasn't bad. I actually
No, I know they're not bad. I know that it doesn't taste like anything, really.
It's protein.
But it's just the thought. I don't know.
All right, I guess I'm just built different.
No, like, I understand why, you know, it's we're, yeah, that's no, a whole different topic. I know.
Some people get just skeeved out about certain things, or, you know, even textures, whatever the case might be. So, I never judge people for not eating certain foods.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways.
Back to the topic at hand.
Let's move off of food.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing to do when you travel? You know, I'm sending you on a vacation to wherever. What is something that you want to do?
Again, it kind of depends on where I'm going. Mm-hmm. But I do like exploring, whether it's like, because I've been to places where it's mainly just beach, but when you, like, keep walking down the beach, you find these little, like, caverns and, like, caves and whatever. I just like seeing new things that isn't super touristy, mm-hmm. unless it's, like, the first time going there. Obviously, you want to see the big touristy things, but I also like looking for the little small things that are within the culture, within the community, that you can just, like, really be in it. I feel like that's really cool.
Yeah, it's, if I know someone that either lives in a country or that's from that country and can give me like a local's recommendation for something, I will always go there. Because going to a country, or not even a country, like if you're going to just an area, like in the US, different states, but just going to a new place and having the perspective of, this isn't what the tourists do, this is what the people there do. It's a different experience. Like, the tourist places are always either over-exaggerated, over-hyped up, expensive as hell. And it's like, when people come to New York City and they ask me for recommendations, I'm never going to give them, be like, yeah, you have to try the Olive Garden at Times Square. Absolutely not. I'm going to be like, here, try
this. Also, just don't do Times Square.
I mean, no, if you're a first time in New York, you have to do Times Square.
First time,
see
but
it.
I'm saying, like,
yeah. But it's like, it's one of those, want recommendations for good stuff, I'm going to tell you to go to Queens. Like, I absolutely be like, if you want anything food, go to Queens.
Yeah, Queens has good food.
So it's one of those
and
things.
And Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn as well. It's like one of those things. If you want something authentic from the culture of the place that you're going to, the main tourist areas are not the place to get it.
Right. Yeah. Because they're catered to big corporations and
They're catered to people that don't necessarily want to try. Like, if you, every country you go to, you'll find a McDonald's. And you'll always find people in that McDonald's.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to a different country just to eat McDonald's, then that's, you know, there's people that do that.
Japanese McDonald's was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I like to see what the McDonald's in each country offers, because that's also like, they all have their all regional menus and stuff. Like, Polish McDonald's has something called a Wieszmak, which basically translates to like a redneck Big Mac. It's
okay.
Because we're all farmers there. We're a farming country.
It's true.
So it's like someone from the towns. Like, that's what the word aviation, like, whatever. Point is, it's our own regional thing. Like, it's only available in Poland. And it's not that much that's different from a Big Mac, but it has, like, some special sauce or something.
Awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's an important thing to consider.
Yeah.
So who do you like to travel with? Like, let's say I give you an all-expense-paid vacation right now. Who are you taking?
I would probably say my friends. It's either, you know, I would take you, Eva, or Michelle. But I also do like traveling with my parents for certain things. Mm-hmm. But mainly, I would say friends.
Yeah.
Just because it's more relaxed.
It is. And it's, I didn't get to travel with friends too often until recently. Because, like, when you're also younger, you don't have the perception of expenses. Because your parents pay for everything, you know, especially if you're, like, 10. Like, most of my travel in my life has been done with my parents. And it's very much like, okay, they're paying for the hotel, they're paying for the flight, they're buying the food. Like, I don't look at the price tag. But right. when it's me traveling on my own or me traveling with, you know, a partner or a friend or whatever, I am very much aware of the price tag because I don't want to yes. spend $500 on Swiss chocolate.
Why not?
When I could, you know, spend $100 and also get a good amount.
True.
Yeah, this so is true. It's one of those things where I like to travel with friends or significant other, but it's one of those things where I don't, as much as I love my family and my parents, it's not the same type of travel. Like, when you yeah. travel with a family, you pay a lot less for things because, you know, they always chip in. You know, my parents are very much like, let's fork over some of the costs. Mm-hmm. Like, even recently, they went on vacation with my sister, and she's, what, almost 40? And it's one of those things where they still, you know, they took her out to dinner here and there. Like, my parents are very much, you're still my baby. Doesn't matter how right. old you are.
No, my parents are the same.
Yeah, and it's like with friends, I feel like you get to experience things a lot differently. You get to do your mm-hmm. own thing, and you get to see things that are targeted at your age group, you know? I'm not going to go to a bar to experience nightlife culture in wherever with my mom. That's just not happening.
I would do that with my dad.
Yeah, you know what? I would do it with your dad, too. Yeah, he's a king. Absolute icon. Yeah, yeah, no, you got me there.
I mean, when I studied abroad in Florence, my parents came to visit, and I took them to, like, the dingy bar.
I love that.
That we all went to.
As and you should.
My mom got sick, so.
Yeah.
From one beer, mind you. But it was, again, dingy bar, probably the pipes of the beer.
The pipes?
The, you know.
I know.
They probably weren't cleaned well.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
And my dad was fine. He was like, oh, that's a good beer. My mom was like, I'm going to die.
Your dad is an icon. I love him so much. He's so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it makes a difference with who you travel. And it kind of changes your perspective on what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
Right.
All right. And then last question I have for you before we kind of dig into things more on, you know, more than just surface level. What are some places you'd like to travel to in your lifetime?
Oh, gosh. I really, 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 really want to go to Ireland. Like, dying to go to Ireland. I love the accents. I love rain. So, I'm also part British, English. So, that whole vibe, I love that vibe.
All right.
And I just want to see it all. I want to see the cliffs. I want to see castles. I want to see everything.
You like? I wish you guys could see Angie right now. She looks so excited. She looks like a toddler that was just given their favorite chocolate bar. She's like, the way she's talking about it, she's like, oh my God, yes, 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 yes.
Yes, 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 yes. I want to go so bad.
Yeah, no, Ireland's really cool. I mean, I have a birthday that's the day after St. Patrick's Day, and I've yeah. always wanted to go to Ireland for one of my birthdays just to see how crazy it gets for St. Patrick's, because yeah. I know it does. Like, I know every year the like prices for tickets skyrocket.
Yeah,
and it's wild.
I but that I just really want to go. Also, Australia.
Yeah.
Because obvious reasons, beautiful accents again. I don't really fuck with the spiders.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would love for you to like go pee in the middle of the night and there's just a giant spider on your toilet.
Yeah.
You'd shit yourself.
I think I would just drop dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a TikTok recently, and this guy in Australia, it's not about spiders, so don't worry, but he sat down on the toilet, and then something literally slapped his ass, and he was like, what the fuck, he looks, and there's a fucking frog that just slapped his ass.
That's so funny.
He was like, this frog just slapped my ass on the toilet.
That's so funny. No, Australia's built different. Like, people, Australians are always like, why do you guys stereotype us with the scary animals? And then you see videos
look
like,
at them.
Yeah, and then, like, you see a guy sitting on a toilet getting, you know, kinky with a frog. Of course you're going to stereotype them.
Literally.
I mean, for me, I've always wanted to go to Brazil. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. There isn't, like, a particular reason. It's just ever since I was young, I was like, I want to go to Brazil. It's always been that one country that before I die, I must visit. Why?
You know what?
I can't
when
tell
I
you.
Was in, like, the third grade, I thought that I was gay. No. You know that song. No, but when I was in the third grade, I like did a report on Brazil, and I was like, I don't know why I picked Brazil. I got to pick one country. I picked Brazil, and I've wanted to go ever since.
No, Brazil's mad cool. Like, I know. Like, it has so much going on there. They have really good beef, which, like, beef. I would go for a steak alone. I'm telling you, food. Yeah. I'm big on food when it comes to travel.
It's true.
And then my other one is Italy. I've never been. I had a very good opportunity to go, and I just didn't for whatever the reason was. But I really want to go to Venice before it sinks. That's my biggest one. It's like, yeah. I have a bit of a timeline on that because humans are killing the planet.
Yes. However, with the pandemic, Venice actually cleaned up.
Yeah, it did.
And the fish came back.
Yeah, that's how long is that going to stay that way? Not very long.
Not long.
But it did add probably a few months to my timeline, so I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. So now you have a little bit extra time.
Nice, nice. I'll take it. But yeah, no, Italy's definitely, it's like, I want to do one of those trips across all of Italy, like just go for like 10 days, rent a car and just go to hit all the major cities and just see it all. And it's like Rome itself probably is going to take minimum 2 days because it's Rome.
Rome is huge.
Yeah, Rome is huge. And there's just so much history and culture there. So
I think my mom's been to Italy like 12 times.
Your mom's an icon. She should take me next time.
She told me once and I was like, excuse me? When? when did you have this time?
Yeah. No. But it's like once you get older, you also, you know, you get more time, especially after you retire.
She loves Italy, so, I mean, you know her.
I mean, she's Italian.
I know, but she's, like, obsessed with Italy.
Yeah, no, she is. She is. It's funny, though.
I get it, though. I love Italy, so.
Yeah, Italy's nice. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, let's get more into the nitty-gritty, the meat of the travel. What it is that you experience, kind of, when going to new places, the expectations, kind of, like, the cultural ideas. Mm-hmm. I feel like a big one that people are always culture shocked by, especially when coming to the U.S., is the tipping culture. Because it's completely opposite literally everywhere else in the world. And, like, some countries, if you tip the people there, they get offended.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I feel that's a big talking point. Like,
I know.
U.S. tipping culture is just outrageous. Like, we tip for everything here. It's like, recently they started adding tipping at the register. It's like, what am I tipping for? Like, what am I tipping
Literally,
for at this
you
point?
You turn the iPad.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel so obligated to. I've started saying no because it's like, there's nothing extra being given to me. You're just doing your basic service. Like, when you're at a restaurant and you have a waitress, yeah, there's something extra because you're running around bringing me the food, whatever. But it's like, if I'm ordering at a kiosk and I'm buying, like, a bottle of soda, I'm not tipping for that.
Right. At my local coffee shop in by my school, like in Connecticut, they would have you tip. And I was like, for what?
Yeah. Like, for what?
For what?
Because it's like, I get the it coffee's if already you're doing brewed. Something else. But even if you're brewing the coffee, like, that is the job description.
Yes.
It's like, what am I tipping for at this point? So tipping culture in America has become outrageous. Like,
it's crazy.
It started off with food because it started off as a way for restaurants to keep lower prices so that they can pay their staff less. Because for those of you internationally listening, the way that the U.S. system works for restaurants is waiters and waitresses don't have to be paid minimum wage. They can be paid like 2/3 or even half of that. And then it's expected that the rest is filled in through tips. Like, a lot of
expected keyword.
And it's like a lot of restaurants have changed their practice a little bit because they're struggling to get people. So they do pay minimum wage plus tips. But still, like, it's ridiculous. The fact that some people will go and work at like $3.50 an hour and then you're expected to get that filled in from the people that dine at your establishment.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, I am a very firm believer that no one should expect a tip for any reason. It should be something that if you provide an extra service or go a mile, go above a mile or whatever the phrase is, then you get the extra tip. It's like, I'll always tip 20% because it's one of those things where if I don't, then I'm the asshole. I just am very against it. I don't like tipping.
I know. Well, you're also from Poland, so it's like you grew up without that kind of culture.
Yeah.
Whereas me, like, I grew up in literally where I am.
Right.
And so it's just ever since I was like a baby, it's just been there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I abolished tipping 2022.
All right. Go tell Mr. Joe.
Hey, Joe. We did it. Hey, Joe, hey. Come on. I want to yell that, too.
Joe, if you're listening, we did it.
But, yeah, no, I mean, that's just one part of it. Because if you go to, I mean, I was talking to my cousins in France. And for there, it's, you can tip, you can, like, leave a euro, maybe 50 euro cents or whatever the case might be, if you have, like, extra change. Like, let's say the coffee costs a euro 50, and you paid with a 2, and they give you back 50 cents. You can leave the 50 cents as, like, a thanks. But it's never expected. It's one of those things where it's, like, if you give it, they're gonna be like, oh, neat, I got an extra 50 cents, versus, oh, wow, they didn't leave me anything. Like, that's never going to be the case. The, like,
right.
The people there are very much paid well and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, also in, when I studied abroad, they, like, you can tip in Italy, but they don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I became friends with, the restaurant owners, like, right across the street from where I was living. And I was there, like, every day, and I was tipping, and they were like, please stop. I was like, oh, like, I'm sorry. And they were like, no, it's fine. I know you're just used to it, but, like, please stop.
No.
Because they felt bad.
Right.
And I was like, well, I feel bad.
I mean, I know, I don't remember which country it was. I think it was Japan or Korea. It was one of the Southeast Asian countries, where if mm-hmm. you tip, they very much, they're not expecting it at all. Like, they will chase after you and return the money to you. Because
yeah, that happened in Japan.
Yeah, like, they don't want it.
Yeah.
Like, for them, it's just not the thing. It's not the norm. You're not supposed to do it.
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So,
I mean, tipping culture is just one thing. I mean, there's a lot of other things, like manners.
Yeah.
You know, the way with Americans are very direct. And same thing, I feel like, with British people. British people are also very direct. Like, the British people are called the Americans of Europe. Where it's like they very much are very loud, rowdy, whatever the case might be.
It depends where you are in England, though.
Yeah, it does. But I'm saying, like, the typical, like, if you think of, like, the typical Brit versus the typical American, like, you have a certain image in your head.
I think I have a different image because my family is very opposite.
Okay, you have family in the UK. That's why.
Yeah, that's why. I'm thinking of, like, my family's very, they're loud, but they're very,
they're well behaved.
Yes.
yeah, so I mean, I know a few people from the UK, but it's still, like, it's very few. It's only, like, two or three of them, and I know them only because I've played video games with them. But the people I've experienced with were while I was studying abroad, and they were just all come and party in Madrid, and they were insane.
Oh, they do love to party, yes.
Yeah. But
I'll give you that.
It's one of those things where, like, I remember when we were in France. We went on a class trip and we all just got on the metro system there, and you could instantly tell we were Americans. We were all, like, everyone there was just sitting quietly, minding their own business, and then we get on and it's just, like, all this chatter, super loud, and I was like, wow, we are such Americans right now.
I know. I look back and I'm like, we were so annoying.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's one of those things where it's hard to just switch it off. Like, especially when that's your behavior day to day. And Americans are a very loud people. Like, you know, it's a very, everywhere you go, it's very similar mannerisms across the board. But still, it's, you know, you have to realize that certain cultures are very much different. Like, when we were in Japan, oh my God, I was scared to make a sound. I was so scared to make a sound. The people there are so polite, so well-mannered. But it's like, I was just like, I must hide my Americanness. Yeah, oh my God, it's so clean in Japan. Like, we couldn't find a trash can. I don't know where they throw their trash away.
They take it home, apparently. Because, like, there's no trash cans, like, on the actual streets.
Which makes sense why it helps keeps it clean. Because a lot of the issues, like, I don't know about other cities, but in New York, a lot of the trash cans start overflowing. And, like, they're the reason that there's so much garbage on the street. Because it just flies out of the trash can half the time.
But, yeah, we could not find a trash can.
Yeah, no. It was, like, I remember walking for, like, an hour straight. We're like, where's a trash can? And then I finally saw one. I was like, holy shit! Finally.
And it was, like, empty.
Yeah, it was empty, and it was super, like, well hidden, too. Like, you had to look for it to see it. I was like, damn, all right.
That was amazing.
But, yeah, no, my favorite thing about Japan that happened to me with the culture there is I went to a sushi restaurant, and they spoke no English there. Like, zero.
Was I with you?
No, you weren't with me. But it was one of those, like, revolver conveyor belt sushi things. So you just grab the plates, they count it up at the end, and they give you a total. So it was perfect for someone that doesn't speak Japanese and doesn't need to communicate. Japan is very friendly in terms of, how you get to, you know, go about it there without needing to know Japanese. Very useful. But yeah, so I got my order and I was trying to figure out how the green tea works because they gave me a cup for green tea and I was like, where's the green tea? Like, is there supposed to be a pot here or something? And the dude next to me was just chuckling because he saw me struggling. Like, he saw me looking for this. I was just not vibing. I was like, where's the green tea? I want the green tea. And then he finally gave up and was like, let me help you out. And there's like a tap on the side that like pulls out and you put it in. And there's also powder, like, in this box that's also very neutral. You wouldn't see it unless you know that it's there. And right. I was like, oh, my God. Thank you so much, kind sir. I know that you laughed at my expense. It's okay. I don't mind. Thank you so much for helping me.
Also, they had, I think, in the same place, because I remember that conveyor belt restaurant.
No, this is, like, a different one. It was, like, a completely different. Oh, I think this was before we even started being friends. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. But we were like in a mall kind of area, and there was like a vending machine for ramen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the best ramen I think I've ever had, by the way.
Yeah, and no, it was so good. It was so good.
Good. And I was like, how? And it wasn't like a vending machine. Like, you saw them make it.
Yeah.
But the machine make it, and then it just came out, and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever had.
Yeah. No. Japan is like an introvert's dream.
Oh, I was so happy.
But yeah, no, it's a really cool thing because it's a whole different culture. It's a whole different experience. And especially countries in Asia, it's a very different approach to how things are, like, even in Europe or even in the U.S. Like, very polar how people behave, what the expectations are, all of that. So it's a bit of a culture shock, but it's also a very unique perspective. You learn a lot about other people, how others behave, and then how you should behave as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then what about when it comes to the type of clothing you wear?
Well, I know in... I mean, it's different everywhere.
It is.
But I used to love, still kind of do, crop tops.
She said used to.
Well, now I only wear them if I'm, like, going out at night in the summer. But I used to just wear them, you know, during the day in the summer. Because, I don't know, it was the vibe. But then when you go to, like, Italy and you wear, like, a crop top, it's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And especially Japan. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They, like, very well-dressed, well-mannered, as we've been saying. And, you know... You take your shoes off when you go into certain places.
As you should.
No, as you should. No, I'm saying, like, but, like, you would... even when we went into our hotel room, you had to take your shoes off before, like, actually going into the room.
As you should. I'm Polish. We take our shoes off.
I do, too, in my house. I mean, you know my house. Yeah. But it's, like, it's just different there.
It is.
I don't know. So, and the kimonos.
So, I really like... Because Americans are very quick to throw the word cultural appropriation around. And a lot of cultures do not think that way. Like, I know there was a whole outrage once on Twitter or Reddit or something where people were freaking out because someone wore a kimono. And they were like, how dare you culturally appropriate? And everyone in the comments was American. Like, they were all, and I was like, chill the fuck out. And then Japanese people caught wind of this. And they were like, we really like this. Like, we're happy that you're celebrating our culture. You know, if you're doing it in a respectful manner, by all means, do it. Be part of the way that they behave. Be part of the culture. Be part of the day-to-day mannerisms. Like, it's you're celebrating the culture. You're not making a mockery of it. I mean, if you're going to wear it as a joke, that's different. But if you're wearing it as, like, an actual, like, oh, I'm in this country, I'm going to respect the values, then that means a lot to people there.
Yeah, we had, like, a traditional, like, Japanese dinner, and we were asked to wear kimonos and the sandals and, like, have, you know, the whole dress on.
Yep.
And they asked us to do that because it was...
Like, that's how you eat that, like, the traditional Japanese dinner.
Yeah, that's how they do it. And they were like, this is just how we do it, and you have to do it, too.
Yeah. And it's like,
and
I mean,
we all did, and it was fun.
Even for something, you know, less, because Japan is a very polar opposite of the U.S., but something like Poland, for example, we also have traditional clothing. We only wear it for holidays and stuff, or, you know, walk around on it day to day. But if I saw an American wearing that and, like, trying to participate in the holiday, I would be ecstatic. I would be like, hell yeah. Let's go, you American. Yeah. Let's do this. Like, I would be hype.
Yeah.
It's one of those things when you're part of the culture, you want people celebrating that culture with you.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
Yeah. Like,
to an extent where, like, you're not.
Yeah, as long as you're not making a mockery of it or whatever the case might be. But if you're, you know, if you're doing it respectfully, if everything is Gucci, then by all means, do it. And same thing with hair.
Just be polite. I think.
Like, with hair, hair is also, people will call cultural appropriation on everything these days. But it's like, if you're part of a certain group of people and you're very much involved with them for whatever, if it's the night, if it's a week, whatever the case might be, and you want to be part of it, then, you know, sometimes you the hairstyle matches that.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to note.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. All right, and then on our last part, we're going to kind of talk about budgets versus, you know, low-end vacations, high-end vacations, or not vacations, but just travel overall. And, you know, best approaches for that. So, for you want to start off low-end or high-end, Angie?
Let's start low.
Let's ease into it. Yeah. I mean, there's certain countries that are just known for being cheaper. And every continent has them. It's not like it's exclusive to, you know, one continent. Like, you can find affordable places everywhere you go. You just have to, you know, take a little extra step in finding them. You might have to stay at a less expensive place. You know, you're not going to stay at a 5-star hotel and expect that to be a budget hotel. That's not how it works. But there's some countries that will make it a bit more budget friendly for you. And I know a lot of countries in Southeast Asia are known for that. You know, Vietnam, Taiwan, those are places where it's expensive to get to because the flight there is a lot. But excluding the flight, like, once you are actually there, you can, like, $30 a day will get you very far. You can have...
Also, like, Bora Bora.
Yeah, Bora Bora as well.
It is crazy expensive to get there. But when you're there, dinner's, like, $5.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's one of those things where if you're... I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I've wanted to go to Vietnam just for the food alone.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you go to, you go buy a street food meal and it's going to be like $3.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's really affordable. Like on $50, not $50, on $30 a day, I was reading about this, like someone was doing a comparison and it can get you a lot. It's going to give you your night of housing. It's going to give you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it also covers transportation, like the least affordable mode of transportation around the area.
Right.
So.
And also, with the food there, they give you, like, big portions.
They do. You're not going to be hungry.
No. It's, like a good portion for a cheap, you know, amount of, like, not a lot of money.
Yeah.
But still, also, very good food.
Yeah. And, I mean, two countries that we've been to for Europe, because people always think, oh, Europe, so expensive. No, not necessarily. Yeah. I mean...
Not all of it.
Yeah, not all of it. Poland. I mean, I've had Angie come to Poland before, and I am Polish, so I've lived there. It's not expensive... Well, it's more expensive these days, but it's not expensive for tourists. Like, if you're an American coming to Poland, you have a big advantage because of the exchange rate. Like, that alone is going to get you a lot. And, you know, the... Like, I'm thinking of, like, a typical... Like, if you want to buy a kebab on the street, which they're pretty big... like, that's going to be a full meal. It's, like, maybe $5-6, which isn't crazy. Mm-hmm. It's not outrageous.
Right. Compared to our prices.
Yeah. It's, like, my favorite story to tell on how affordable Poland is, quote-unquote affordable, is I went to the... When I flew in, I was at the Warsaw airport. I had, like, a 3-hour layover. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. It's been a while. And I went to a very fancy restaurant, which already fancy restaurants are expensive. This is a fancy restaurant at an airport. So you have to, like, double what you would normally do just for airport food. I go and I'm like, I'm going to order these fancy ribs. And it's like, it was like a full-on meal. This would cost me like $150 in the U.S. And I ended up paying like 75 zloty, which was... I don't know, like $20 maybe?
Oh my God.
Like $25, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, damn, look at me having this fancy, expensive airport meal for nothing for what it could be worth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. This was like a few years ago, so I don't know if those prices still apply at airport meals, but once upon a time it was there. No, but even for like touring and stuff, if you want to go to museums and, you know, buy souvenirs and whatever. I mean, we bought amber, which Poland, the reason amber is so cheap in Poland is because we have, like, we're known for amber. We have a lot of it in the country.
Yeah.
If you ever want to buy amber, my mom, I remember she bought a necklace for, I think, like $1,000 in Poland. And then she saw like an almost identical one in Manhattan for $5,500. And I was like, yep, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of amber when I was there.
Yeah.
And
it's affordable.
It just says gifts, and it's so pretty.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's very nice. Very affordable. Yeah. I always tell people, like, if you go to Poland and you want, like, a nicer gift, do amber. Like, it's super affordable. And there's also a lot to do in Poland. Like, Poland's one of those countries where people think of, like, Krakow, Warsaw, because those are the main tourist areas. But if you go to the mountains, like, we have a lot of mountain regions in there. And, like, the area where I'm from, I'm in the southeast of Poland. There's Bieszczady there, which they're a smaller mountain range, but it's beautiful. And it's, like, I got to see, I don't know what they're called in English, but they look like bison. They're just smaller. I don't know what their name is, but whatever. They're really cool. I was, like, like, not even kidding, I was, like, a foot away from one. Like, there was a gate between us, don't get me wrong, but it was a national park between Ukraine and Poland, and they just, they house them to make sure that they don't go extinct or anything like that, or endangered.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I like it. They keep them there, breed them, and then they release them into the wilderness.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really nice. But yeah, no, like, we have a lot of regions, and the biggest mountain region in Poland, it's also connected to... wait, hold on. I have to go through the countries. So I think it's Slovakia and the Czech Republic. Because I know the neighbors of Poland in order. So I'm like, what's on this side of the border? I think it's Slovakia and the Czech Republic. It's a huge mountain range, and people go skiing there all the time from all over Europe. So it's, I mean, definitely lots to do if you are willing to go out of just the regular tourist areas.
I mean, I loved Poland, and I got to see... like you, where you grew up and everything. It's just a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's a nice country. And like Czech Republic, similar. Same thing with Ukraine. I mean, not these days for Ukraine, but you know, like a year ago in Ukraine, it's even cheaper than Poland. Like my cousin would go on road trips to Ukraine all the time. And I was like, that's so cool. I want to do it. I never did, but I want to. It's one of those things where a lot of the Slavic countries, they're still, like, even if they have popular tourist destinations, like Prague, for example, very popular tourist destination, but it's still affordable. Right. Like, all things considered, it is not expensive, compared to, like, Berlin.
And the food?
Exquisite.
Oh, loved the food there. So good.
You're talking to Slav right now. I'm all with it. but, like, even if you want a higher-end, cheaper vacation... I think Spain and Portugal are good alternatives there as well. I mean, I know you've never been to Spain, but from...
Or Portugal.
Yeah, or Portugal. It's like, both of them, they're not expensive either. Like, when you compare them to other European countries, like UK, you know, Austria, whatever, they're at a fraction of that price. They're also... The housing there is much more affordable. It's just cheaper to go to and experience.
Right.
Unless you're going to, like, Ibiza, which... That's, you know, ridiculous prices.
Ibiza.
But no, it's like if you go to like Valencia. When I went to Valencia, it was very affordable. And south of Spain, same thing. Same thing with south of Portugal.
I have to go to Spain.
You absolutely do. I push this on everyone. I make it on everyone's agenda. I'm like, you must go to Spain.
My cousins in England bought a house in Spain, and they have yet to invite us.
That's tough.
Yeah.
You should just be like, all right, we're going to go to Spain. What is
we're
your house?
We're all very salty about it.
Yeah, you should be. No, I would be too.
Yeah. I think they have like a villa.
Yeah. It's. I mean, a lot of Europeans love to buy real estate in Spain and just summer homes.
Yeah.
I know when Brexit came into effect, a lot of the UK people were freaking out because they're like, I have a home in Spain. It's like, well, can't visit it for more than 3 months now.
Yeah, very upsetting.
Yeah. But yeah, all right. So that's kind of like the low end of the spectrum. Let's talk about the high end, which is a lot worse. Like when with
there's
the low,
a big gap.
Yeah, with the low end, you have a lot of, you know, options in terms of what you do, how you do, staying at hostels, whatever. But mm-hmm. at the high end, there's certain countries that it doesn't matter if you're in a hostel or not. It's still expensive. And by certain countries, I mean Switzerland. I don't...
Specifically only Switzerland.
No, there's multiple countries, but I...
No, I know.
Switzerland is one of those countries. We've both been to it. I don't know how much you spent, but I can tell you I spent too much.
I spent way too much there.
I was like...
I just, like... I did so many things, and I just kept going, and I was like, I need this, because Switzerland.
Yeah.
I didn't. I lost the chocolate, the $50 chocolate.
Oh, no, I ate my chocolate. I was like, hell no, I'm eating this shit. If I paid the ridiculous price tag for it, I'm eating it. It was good chocolate.
Went to the top of Europe. We took a little tram, like a railroad tram, like 12,000 feet up to the top of a mountain. It was beautiful. And at the top, there had like an ice palace, which, by the way, if anyone knows me, they know I sweat a lot and I like it cold. I was sweating in the ice palace. I had to take off of my winter coat, my turtleneck. I was in a t-shirt. And Paige was like, you need help. You need psychological help. And I was like, I'm hot. She was like, we're surrounded by ice. But anyways, regardless, we bought chocolate up there. And it was, again, way too much money. And it was like triple the price of what it would be. At the bottom of Europe, I guess, is what you call it. And on the tram back, I was so tired, I left it.
That's tough. That's so tough.
It's still riding it to this day.
Yeah. Who knows? It's become one with the tram.
Yeah, so I'm very upset.
Yeah, I mean, my trip to Zurich, because I only went to Zurich. I didn't do all the pretty areas of Switzerland.
I did Interlaken.
I want to go back and go to, like, the lakes and mountains and whatever, because I think it would be really pretty.
Beautiful.
I will have to budget for that one, though. But no, I went to Zurich, and the way that I did it, I was going on a spring break vacation where I started off in Switzerland, and I made my way to Austria, Germany, whatever. And it's like, I plan to only stay for a day in Switzerland, because I knew how expensive it was. I looked at the hotel prices. I was like, ooh, that's a lot of money. And it was also spring break. Like, everyone was out of school, so everyone and their mother was traveling. I was like, that's not happening. So what I did was I just flew in to Switzerland early in the morning. I got there at like 10 a.m. I got out of the plane, went, explored Zurich for the whole day. I walked through all of Zurich, super tired at the end of it. And then I caught like an 8 p.m. train to Vienna, an overnight train. I was like, sweet. I don't have to stay. Don't have to worry about housing. I can just sleep on this train. Which, yeah, hindsight now, a little bit dangerous just sleeping alone on a train, but whatever.
I have a story about that.
You just made such an aggressive face. You're like, I must tell this.
I have to tell that story.
Okay.
No, you finish yours. This is the same thing.
I was done with mine. Like, I was just, my point was, like, I was just very expensive. Wasn't even worth staying in because it was that expensive, and I spent $150 on chocolate. That is all.
Wow. Anyways, my wonderful train story. I was going to Austria from Italy, and there was an overnight train, and Paige and I were going, and we got our own room on the way there, so it was, like, great. It was great. They gave us wine, like, the small little wine bottles, and, like, a small little dinner, and then they would wake you up with breakfast. Whatever. That was fine. Getting there was fine. Perfect. No qualms about it. On the way back, I thought I booked the same kind of ticket. Turns out, I sure as hell did not. I also had a sinus infection, so I was, like, hallucinating.
Yep.
And I was so out of it. And so, we get into this train car, and we're expecting the same kind of train car, you know? And no. It was bunk beds, but it was triple bunk beds, and there was six of them. So it was like one on each side, and there was three layers. And we were like, who needs that many beds for two people? And then four men waltz in.
Yeah.
Four men that we had no idea who they were. And we were like,
Nice.
And so I'm looking at my ticket. I'm panicking because I'm sick. So, like, I booked the wrong ticket. My fault completely. And I'm like, oh, my God. And Paige is like, she knows I'm not feeling well. So she's on the bottom. I'm in the middle. There's a man above me. And then there's three men on the other side. And Paige wanted to make sure because I was out. I was, like, moaning in my sleep. Like, that's how sick I was. And she was staying up because she wanted to make sure that I was okay. But there was this one man, we call him Cane Guy, because he had a cane and he wanted to just take care of us because the other guy on the other top was being very creepy and just staring at us the entire night. But that was a bad
time. Yeah, that's, I wouldn't be able to go to sleep. I'd be like, oh my God, there's four strange men in my train car.
And they were old men, too.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be able to fall asleep. I would have been, like, wide awake.
Well,
yeah, you didn't have a choice.
You didn't have a choice.
Yeah, when you're sick, you just your body just takes over.
That's why Paige was like, I'm watching movies, I don't care.
Yeah. It's like, vigilant. Yeah, go off. Shout out to Paige for that one.
But that is my train story.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, there's a lot of countries where it's just expensive. I mean, I mentioned that I was on a train to Vienna. And Vienna also expensive for no reason. Yeah. Like I remember I was waiting for Berlin so to be the most expensive one. And Berlin was actually affordable compared. But like Vienna, mm-hmm. it's very, I think the rest of Austria is a bit more affordable. Just Vienna as a whole.
Of course, I also stayed in Vienna too.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those places where I think it has to do with the royalty that used to be there, like all the palaces and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Vienna expensive. Not on the
palaces though, beautiful.
Yeah, they are. I was walking around with Snapchat filters on all the art. I love to do that when I go to museums. I'll put Snapchat filters on like the most serious piece. Like I'll get the Mona Lisa and give her a.
You're the reason that everyone hates Americans.
Yeah, I know. I am. I am absolutely the reason. I remember you were with me when we were in the Louvre. We were literally walking around and putting like the chubby face filter on all the artwork.
Yeah. We were also walking around going, that's you.
Yeah. Okay, to be fair, we were like 17.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's fair, but doesn't really
say much about us as 17-year-olds, but whatever. I mean, there's also expensive places in Asia as well. I mean, we talked about Asia, Southeast Asia being affordable, but if you look at places like Japan, which, you know, the exchange rate there is pretty even to a dollar. It's like 100 yen for $1. Yeah. And prices are pretty comparable. Like, I didn't think Japan was by any means very affordable. I thought it was similar to what we experience on the day-to-day here. And we live in New York, which isn't affordable. So,
not at all.
Yeah, like, Japan was also one of those tighter-end budgets. And same thing with places like Dubai. Like, you know, they're rich countries.
Yeah.
So when you go to a country with a rich economy and, you know, the people there are wealthy, especially the rich, then you're going to experience that as well. It trickles down to tourists.
Trickle down economics.
But yeah, we also, you know, we live in New York, so we can tell you all about how expensive New York is. Ridiculously overpriced for whatever. I will say, though, souvenir gifts in New York City are deceptively cheap. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's like, because I had a friend visit me last weekend, and as I was walking around with him, like, what the fuck? Three shirts for $10? Like, what? And they were like
decent. Where is that normally?
Yeah, they're like, I can't even get that for my shirts in, like, Old Navy.
No, I know. Living here is so expensive.
Yeah, no, it is. But it's like, it's not the only city. Like, in the U.S., San Francisco, crazy expensive as well.
Yes.
Miami, another one. Because it's like, if you think of the major cities, Chicago, L.A., all of those, like, any of the major metropolitan cities where you go as a tourist is going to be expensive.
Yes.
So, it just...
It is crazy over here.
It comes down to, you know, what you want out of your vacation, what your budget is, and how much you want to see. If you want to go to a city like New York, you can find a lot of things that are free. There's a lot of, especially, you know, if you come during prime tourist time, like if you come during the summer, there's a lot of free events. If you come during the winter, there's a lot of winter markets that are free that you can look around.
Also, if you're a student.
Yeah, if you're a student, you get student discounts. I know that there's more discounts for, like, New York residents or students of the tri-state area. But if you're, if you have, a, like, overall a student discount, you can find places that will also let you in free. So, it comes down to planning. Like, you know, for those of you that don't like to plan, sometimes just doing that little bit of work will help you save a lot of money in the long run.
Yes, I agree.
But yeah, other than that, you got anything to add, Angie?
I just love traveling.
Yeah, I do too. I think traveling is one of those things. Everyone should do it.
I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
I mean, both my parents are retired right now, and they're traveling everywhere.
As they should.
Good for them.
As they should.
Good for them, yeah. I'm jealous.
It's one of those things, like, it changes your perspective on things. Because if you stay in the same place your whole life, you're not going to know what other people are like, what other cultures are like. Mm-hmm. It's like, sometimes all it takes is just to go to a city. Like, go, if you're an American, go to a different state. Like, we have a lot of travel opportunities in this country because every state is literally its own country. They're big enough to be, and they're also, like, I have nothing in common with someone from Missouri. We have completely different cultures. It's like...
You like fishing, though.
I do like fishing, yeah, I will say. Okay, so I have...
I don't even know if they fish in Missouri, I feel like they do.
I feel like when we read one of the... What was it, Tom Sawyer? Was that Missouri? That was Mississippi. Whatever. Doesn't matter. It was so... They fish in the Midwest. Is all I know.
They fish. That's it.
All right, so that's the one thing I have in common with someone from Missouri. But it's like, aside fishing. From that...
There's not much else.
Yeah, so it's like, if for me, it would be good exposure to go see that. For them, it would be good exposure to come to New York City. Be a big culture shock. But...
Yeah. For both parties.
Yeah, it would. I would be like, ooh... Corn. Ooh, more corn. Wow, corn. it's definitely something everyone should do.
If you can, you should definitely travel.
By all means. It's like, if you are tight on budget, there are alternatives. There are states and cities that you can visit as well that are on the lower end. And even if it is for like a weekend trip. You know, if you can set aside a few dollars.
Trips.
Yeah, road trips as well. Definitely recommend doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, on that note, stay happy, stay healthy, and go book a vacation. Expedia.
All right, I'm on it. Sponsored by
Trivago.
JetBlue Airlines.
All right. On that note, outro music.
Outro music.
Red.